A senior official from China's top market regulator says that the Chinese government will stop the assessment of famous brands and trademarks in the year of 2019. So, if panned out, we will no longer see the conspicuous label, usually said recommended by the state in commercials or on product packaging. Instead, the government will only blacklist the bad ones. Actually, this is kind of a complicated regulation only recently come out. So let's talk about what exactly is happening here right now.
Yeah, first, let's see where we got this message. The message was revealed by Zhang Mao, who is the head of the State Administration for Market Regulation. He revealed the message during a recent exclusive interview by China Central Television's Finance Channel. Then there will only be a government blacklist for bad brands. If an enterprise violated the regulation, you'll be on the blacklist and face many restrictions, of course. If an enterprise did a good job, the public praise will be the best red list for their brands, which means word of mouth is the best promotion for those good brands. And the Central Economic Work Conference held by the end of last year also clearly defined the mission of the market supervision work in 2019, which is this year, pointing out that China will optimize the business environment, further promote the reform to streamline administration, delegate powers, and improve regulation and services. For a background, so there were over 100 million market entities in China in 2018, and I think the history of those brand titles in China can be dated back to 1978 when China adopted the China's reform opening up policy. And later, after people know of this new move, I check online. I think most of Chinese public, most people, we support this new move.
The new move. So yeah. Basically saying there's no longer going to be a list or this. Usually it comes in a special label of saying, oh, this is specially recognized or recommended by some level of government. And that's going to be gone. Now it's only going to be the bad guys that appear on that special blacklist. Carl, when you first saw this, what was your reaction, I suppose, towards this? I think it's like a promotion or a marketing regulation as such.
I think it sounds like something that's long overdue. Obviously, China has become an increasingly marketized economy, and so it makes sense for the government to basically stop picking winners. So if you've got 20 television brands in the market, for example, there's not necessarily a logical reason why the government should be promoting one brand over another. It might have made sense at some point in the past, you know, as China didn't really have a market economy when the reform and opening up was starting. Customers might not have been able to assess quality. So it might have made a bit more sense then, but I certainly don't think it does now, given how much information we have about different products.
It's interesting that you use the word promote. Mm-hmm. I suppose this is certainly one of the residual procedures from market, planned economy those days. But as we move increasingly to a market economy, I guess what the government recognizes as great, it's maybe not that necessary, but I wonder how much of it was the government trying to promote certain brands, but more like possibly to give you that peace of mind as a consumer and just say, oh, this brand, I mean, they've passed all our inspections and checks and all those things. Therefore, we think that it's a safe brand and you can consume. I don't know how much of a promotion, I suppose, as an active intention was involved there, as more like a maybe like a parental way of looking at all these brands and companies in the market.
I suppose when I talk about it in a promotional sense, I'm not thinking about it as a from the government side, from the regulation side. I'm thinking it more from the perspective of a business. So if I'm making, I'll keep with the example of televisions, if I'm making televisions in a little factory in my province and I want to sell those televisions nationally, I have a really good incentive for making sure that I do whatever is required to make sure I'm rated by the provincial government as the best producer of televisions in the province, because I can then use that for my own marketing. So the companies will have an incentive to go out of their way to get these titles. And of course, other people have their own provincial television brands, as you know, a famous brand. So then people start lobbying national ministries to get their own, you know, famous brand status, or even the national government. So I think it's an interesting change from a business perspective, mm-hmm. because it does confer a certain authority. Not just that it might be a good television, but that it's in some way nationally recognized and approved. So that carries brand value.
Yes, there's certainly a added brand value if you're recognized and in a way picked as a winner, like you said, Carl, by the state. So, Huangshan, I'd like to ask you, why do you think that winning these special titles or this recognition has long been a coveted move? These companies actually engaged in pretty fierce competition sometimes to really want to grab that title.
Yeah, I think this is in line with the situation of the society development. Can we imagine in the era like when digital media and social media was not that prevalent, how people can get information of a product? Imagine if you go into a shopping mall and there are 10 or even 20 brands of TV. Which one will you choose? So when you see a label maybe saying Chinese well-known trademarks or China's famous brand or the state inspection exemption product title, you tend to buy one TV from this brand or this manufacturer because you believe, oh, they win the heart of the Chinese government and the government gave them this label. This must mean it has the best quality among other TVs brand. So I may easily choose this kind of brand. And if we switch the time machine back to 1978, we can see during that period, every province had their own factories to produce TVs, washing machines, refrigerators, motorbikes, and every city also had their own factories to produce food and meat products. So when the competition is so huge, there are lots of brands that may blind you in the market, which one you would choose. So for those customers or consumers without any information background, not as easy as now, we can just Baidu it, where we can check all the review apps. But at that time, they highly rely on those trademarks or these brands, these labels.
And obviously there is a catch with that system, because you've then got to ask the question of how are companies getting these certifications? So what's the quality assessment process? Is it the same across every province? If I buy a television in Zhejiang versus Gansu and they've both got their provincial label on it, are they being measured up in the same way to the same quality standards? So it does raise a lot of questions about the consistency. There is also, I think, fundamentally the problem of the government backing individual companies from not a blacklist perspective, but a promotion perspective. And one example that came up during the research was the issue of the Sanlu milk powder group. Mm-hmm. So the government stopped issuing these famous brand titles in 2008. Sanlu, as you might remember, was putting melamine in. It's a toxic plastic product they were putting into their milk powder to fake the protein content in their product. It killed 6 babies. It left thousands ill. It was an enormous, enormous scandal.
Yes.
And the infant formula had all three brand titles of being a well-known trademark, a famous brand, and a state inspection exemption product title. So this is a case where I imagine there would be a lot of people in the government responsible for this legislation thinking, do we really want to be responsible for not just blacklisting, but actively promoting a product if we don't have a really, really strong ability to make sure it is consistently meeting these quality standards?
You make such a good point here, Carl. And the part that I find hugely ironic and what a slap in the face is the state inspection exemption product title. So saying that any brand that wins this title does not need to be inspected within a set period of time, sometimes a couple of years, if not a bit longer than that. And I just don't think any company, any human being out there in the world can garner this kind of, you know, with no supervision whatsoever, and you're just being trusted that you can do your job. I just don't think that should be given to anyone. That is such an immense amount of trust when I don't think it should be given out like this. And yes, that was, Sunlu was a huge brand. Every time when I think of the location it is at, Shijiazhuang, I think of this brand because I've always listened to this brand having commercials and maybe even word of the mouth because people talked about it. And it was a huge scandal that, that really shattered people's trust in these products. And certainly, I think with the supervision or the lack of supervision as a mechanism from the government side, that has become a huge issue. And now we're seeing that there are changes that are being made. Part of it is about streamlining, about cutting government red tape. And also, is it sort of a little bit of a guidance or a little bit of a push for companies to go and swim and sink in the real market and not really having the so-called government backing anymore? Is it like a fundamental shift in a way of how government has a relationship with these businesses?
Well, I think it does provide some of these industries an incentive to develop their own systems for showing their quality or having some sort of industry endorsement. So, for example, if you're a fruit if you're in the fruit industry, you could have a fruit industry association, and being a part of that association means the members have to reach certain quality standards, and there's more self-regulation and enforcement. That's quite common, for example, in Australia and in other parts of the world, and I don't see why that can't work in China. It does put more pressure on the businesses to step up and regulate themselves, but it can be a really effective process.
Yeah, and I think maybe now it's showing the country, our government is shifting the focus from interfere too much into the market, from how to safeguard consumers' rights. Because before, whenever there's some scandal of some products and they show to be have bad qualities, people tend to think that's a government responsibility. But actually, it's not. It's not the government should make sure every company has the best products, but the companies themselves, they need to guarantee they have the best quality products before those products goes into the market, because they need to serve the customers, the consumers, trying to make sure they enjoy the best quality, not enjoy the bad quality things.
I think there is also a slightly different way of looking at the issue of how government does assess products. So it's one thing for China to no longer have things like well-known trademarks or well-known brands, but that doesn't mean there's still not a role for government to play in assessing products. So, for example, there can be systems for assessing how water efficient a product is. So, for example, if you buy a dishwasher or a washing machine, there can be government agencies or industry bodies that provide ratings. You can have ratings for energy efficiency of products. For cars, you've got national ratings for safety. So it's not that there's not necessarily a role for government, but rather than just sticking a label on a product and saying, the government says this is good, you can actually have a role for government in telling people why a product might be better or worse than another. So it helps the consumer to make better choices.
So are you saying that instead of saying that this is the brand recognized by the government, instead you say there's grade one, two, and three recognized by the government?
Yeah, so in this, if you look at, you know, a lot of washing machines, or if you look at a lot of air conditioners, for example, and they will have a sticker on them, and it'll have the number of stars that tell you energy efficiency ratings. That's a way of telling whether a product is potentially good. It'll give you an indication of how much it's going to cost to run. That's a lot more useful as a consumer, I think, than looking at an air conditioner and seeing a label saying the Beijing municipal government says this air conditioner is good. In what way is it good? Is it good because it was made in Beijing? Is it good because it's... I cannot think of any other reason you would rate it as good. So, you know, you're enabling the consumers to make better choices by setting standards that provide information about the product that's a lot more meaningful than simply saying something's good or bad.
That's very interesting, because, Carl, then that is still... Okay, how is this different, though, when, I suppose, the companies, the manufacturers, they're going to be competing to get the... as many stars as they can from the government, right? And how is that any different from the now abolished old system of sticking the government sticker and stamp of approval on the product when it's still the authorities telling you this is recommended, one is better than the others, one is better than the other without the sticker?
Because I think it's a lot clearer about why they're getting a good rating. So, again, if you've got...
You still need to trust the system, though.
So you still need to trust the system, but if it's something, for example, like energy usage, you can plug an air conditioner into a tester and you can turn it on and run it and you can see how much power it uses. You can run a washing machine in a lab to see how much water it uses. So they're quite concrete measures, even for things... The other example I'd use is car safety. Like there are, each country has their own way of assessing car safety, but you can smash a car into a wall with a dummy behind the wheel and you can make an assessment as to how safe cars are. And they're a lot more concrete in terms of measuring the quality of something than just saying something is a good government approved product. Because again, I come down to the issue of what does it mean for something to be famous or rated as good, and are those standards applicable across different ministries, across different provinces, and nationally? And I think the answer is probably no. So if you can have a single national standard for how you assess individual characteristics of a product, like energy efficiency or water use, that's a lot more useful, and it really levels the playing field, because companies will, yes, they will then compete to, say, make a 5-star energy-rated air conditioner than a 1-star one, but that means they have to make a better air conditioner. They can't just lobby to be labelled as energy efficient. They actually have to improve so they get a better rating, so that customers will be more enticed to buy their products.
Well, the State General Administration for Quality and Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine, and the national organs are there to do the assessment, but... I suppose now we've reached a period in economic development and also governance that this doesn't seem to be, I guess, enough to answer what the customers demand and what the market demands possibly, and we're seeing this change. But okay, here, guys, look at this new move, though. What about blacklisting the bad guys? Just simply saying that, okay, if you're good, then... you know, sink or swim, and you survived. And, well, I suppose there doesn't need a special acolyte to that, because the customers are going to buy this product and they're going to sing the praises. It's the bad ones that the government is going to single out, make it obvious for people, and you can just check that list and know the underperforming companies, the manufacturers. What about this system? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, because it can avoid consumers to fall into the traps. So they can stop being fell into a trap from the very beginning. So when they heard some brands on the blacklist, actually they can just avoid buying such products. It saves consumers time and energy, because now if we heard of the news when consumers want to protect their rights, actually the cost is huge, because it involves a long time and also lots of efforts. But if they can stop buying those fake or just poor quality stuff, it's very good. And also I think it's different from the good list, because the good list sometimes it may involve corruption or bribery, because I think this is in line with the government's anti-corruption campaign. So by stopping have the good list, then you can avoid the situation that some manufacturers, they may use bribery to get some brand or some title. But I think no brand deserves the state inspection examination product line. I think even a manufacturer is very self-disciplined, a double check and a supervision is still necessary, especially for food safety and for maybe medicine safety. I think if you have the blacklist, that's very important for consumers to know. I think it's their right to know which are the bad products in the market.
Look, I think that's absolutely right. And a blacklist is important because if you don't have a blacklist, if you don't have some sort of way of giving feedback to the public about the quality of a brand, what's the point in having standards?
Mm.
So what's the point in having in laws saying that if you can't make cosmetics out of toxic products that will make someone's skin peel off? What's the point in having those rules if you're not going to enforce them in a way that's publicly visible so that the market can respond? If you're not going to publicly admonish or punish people for putting plastic in milk powder or making fake vaccines, what's the point in the regulation? So a blacklist is a natural follow-on that allows the market to respond to bad performers. And it's an incentive for companies to behave because there is a serious cost for them to pay if they break the rules.
I think you are absolutely right. I think there should be, first of all, the penalties, the fines. Whoever needs to be arrested should end up behind bars. I mean, that is the first really serious consequence. And after that, a further ramification, that is, well, the brand should be made well known to people that this is possibly the one that you want to stay away from. And do you think this is going to be a more efficient way of governance, or I suppose I'm asking what do you think is going to be the future impact of it?
I think it is a positive change because I think it's easier for a government to set minimum standards that companies have to meet rather than having some sort of amorphous positive standard to be rated as good.
Mm-hmm.
So if the government comes out and sets very, very clear expectations about how a product should be made and the quality control standards, it's much easier to then ping companies that fail to meet those standards than to try to pick which one is good and try to work out what definition you have for good.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have one question that is from the consumer side for you guys. That is, okay, Huangshan mentioned that there's more than 100 million market entities out there, so I suppose so many products out there.
Yeah.
And these days, yes, we have the internet that can help us. But also, if you don't have this government recognition mechanism anymore, and how am I going to know what is the best product? Okay, there is definitely what I think most people receive is you see it on TV. Whoever gets the prime time commercial break, that is the product that usually gets the most exposure, but that's not always the best product. So, well, as the consumer, what do you do to get your hands on the best thing that you want?
I think you've got a lot of word of mouth information. There's potentially information you can look up online about the company. Until I think the system of sort of minimum standards is really well established and it's really clear we get information, you know, it's...
Yeah, maybe the manufacturers, they will be more responsible and also let the market to decide which product can survive and always trust word of mouth. There are lots of bots on the social media.
Oh yes, lots of bots. And I guess reading customer reviews, but you also need to be really careful in sifting through information as well to see what is the best valuable review for you. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.